Guys, for the last 8 weeks, we did Nehemiah. He rebuilt the walls in 52 days. It was a supernatural work. But here was the issue. If you remember about Nehemiah, they rebuilt the past. They rebuilt the hearts of the people. They rebuilt the walls. They rebuilt the future. But guess what? They were still missing a savior. We were still needing a savior. And can I say it like this? You can get the best car. You can get the best job. You might even have the best wife. I'm sure you do. But if you don't have a savior, you need him. There's just no way out of a church. You need a savior, because the savior of the world is what's going to change the world. And so that's what we're going to think about for the next 4 weeks. Hope season. I don't know what this season is going to look like for you. Maybe it's going to be shopping, busy, hectic, longer hours, screaming kids. I don't know what it's going to be. But let me just encourage your heart. What it needs to be at the root level is hope season. Hope season, because Jesus came at this time. And I know it's Christmas, so therefore you've maybe heard the story a million times over, but we can get complacent in the story. I don't want us to get complacent in the story. I want us to know it's a rich story, which has more and more and more for us to discover. And maybe today we're going to discover a bit more of it. So as we looked at Nehemiah, let me set the scene. It was about 950 years, let's just say 1,000 just to keep it simple, years from the first children of Israel being in captivity, being in Egypt, having to make bricks every day. And then the Lord leads them through the Red Sea into the Promised Land, and now they find themselves in a new way of living. But you know what began to happen? They began to go around in circles. Maybe you do the same thing. We get complacent. We get forgetful. We start compromising. We start drifting a tiny bit. We get distracted. Karen was preaching last night at Young Alice. We get distracted. These are all the simple things that happen. And what they tend to do is they move us off course from what the Lord has for us. And so after 1,000 years, the people are in ruins again. The walls are in ruins. They rebuild it. Then you get this point in the story of Nehemiah. We did 8 weeks of it. But after that, there's another 450 years or so to get all the way to Jesus. But here's a point you may not have noticed and may not have known before. For 400 years, it says that the Lord doesn't speak. So basically, from the end of the book of Malachi, if you went into the Old Testament, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. From that point all the way to Matthew in the New Testament, for you, it's just a flip of a page. For the men and women of God back then, it was 400 years of silence. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine 400 years? No visions, no prophets, no angels, no word from God, just silence. But let me say this. It was silence, but he was not absent. He was still there. He was still there. He had not forgotten about us. And today what we're going to talk about is there is hope in the waiting. See, we're coming into hope season. But what I need to encourage you with is that if you're in a season of waiting and you're trying to see some things happen, you're trying to see some things come to pass, can I say this? That if you're in a season of waiting, there is hope there, especially if you know the Lord. If you're in a season of waiting, you're like, Lord, when's this thing going to happen? I'm going to say to you, there is hope. There. Now, there's a couple of things I want to mention about hope. The first one is this. Can I tell you what hope used to look like for me, especially before I was a Christian? And then even in the early days of being a Christian, I wrote it down. Here's what it looked like for me. Maybe it's the same for you. My hope before Jesus, I really, and what I would do is I would add a lot of really sin. I really, 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 really hope it works out. That's the way I would talk. I really, really, really hope it's going to work out. I really hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I really hope Mother Nature's kind. And not that maybe you use that term, but, you know, just believing in whatever, the Mother Nature, the atmosphere, nature, just it'll all work out. Or I just really hope a bit of luck happens. Really hope a bit of luck. Or maybe you might call it coincidence. It's kind of the way I talked. But can I tell you this, church, that when we mention the word hope, I want to redefine it for you. I don't want you to think that. Now, that could be the tendency, because that's the way everybody else talks. And as everybody else talks, we tend to follow suit if we're not careful. But ours is a confident expectation that it's going to happen. Ours is a confident expectation that it's going to happen. Why? Because before, my hope was based on everything that I did not know. Like, if I was good enough, if I had strong enough willpower, if I was strong enough whatever, if I could set enough times, it was just, I don't know, it was up to the universe to decide. But when I became a Christian and fully started to understand who I was in Christ, you know, I began to realize, oh, Jesus is my hope. My hope is based on Jesus. My hope is based on Jesus because he's the perfect one. He will never fail me. He has never been unfaithful. He's always been there. He will never leave me. He never moves. So my faith is based on a person now. I hope yours is as well. But I hope it's not anybody else other than Jesus. Because no matter how good you are, no matter how great your kids are, no matter how great your boss is, no matter how great your wife or husband is, They're never going to be totally faithful. They're never going to be totally this or that because they are not perfect. So I have to base my hope on someone. And it's got to be Jesus. If it's not Jesus, then you're going to default back into, I really, really hope it works out. I really, really hope it snows for Christmas. I really, really hope this. I really, really hope. It's all a wing and a prayer. It's all like just, if everyone aligns, it'll all work out perfectly. But I want to say to you today that if you're in a season of waiting, that we have a confident expectation that this thing's going to happen. Why? Because we serve a faithful Savior. He's never failed us before. He promises to never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter how good a form you're in, he's always perfect. Amen? Anybody want to say amen? See, this is the God that we have, church. We've got a God who is perfect. And so my hope is built on Jesus because he's the only one that's able to carry it. So when I talk about hope in the waiting, this is not an idle hope. This is not a hopefulness. This is not just, I'm sort of praying about it. This is, I know he always comes through. So I have a confidence. I have a confidence in Jesus. And point number one is this, the waiting is not wasted. Can we say this? The waiting is not wasted. You say to yourself, what on earth was going on for 400 years? Now, here's what we have, the beauty of hindsight. You got the beauty of hindsight. And so we can look back and we go, oh, well, there's this reason, that reason. And I'm going to read a few in just a moment of what goes on. But most of us live our lives not with hindsight, but we're just trying to get a little bit of foresight. Like, I'm just hoping to see a little bit ahead. But what it tends to be is that I have no clue what's going on. I don't know why my child's sick. I don't know why the boss is not happy. I don't know why I'm not making more money. I don't know why this is happening. We got a whole lot of whys. But can I encourage us that if we base our lives on Jesus, then we still have hope, even in the uncertainty, because our hope is not based on what happens. Our hope is based on who he is. Amen. And so if he doesn't change, then I know that in every circumstance, even if it changes, my hope is only the same. And if it's maybe, can I say even better? It's getting better all of the time. Why? Because I'm starting to see better. I'm starting to understand better. I'm starting to reason better. I'm starting to get closer to Jesus more. And the more I get closer to him, the more I begin to realize, oh my goodness, my hope never fails. My hope never fails. Church, I want you to put that on your heart today. My hope, you should say it, my hope never fails. My hope never fails because Jesus never fails. Now, if your life is built on anything else, please change it. You can change it today. You see, as Israel, as they heard about Jesus and the nation of Israel, they waited on the Lord. They waited on a Savior. Unfortunately, there's some of the nation still waiting for a Savior, which is absolutely heartbroken. They thought God had stepped away. That's what they thought. For that 400 years, if you were reading between the lines, if you were to read some of the books that were written in between that time, you know what the people would write? The Lord has left us. The Lord has left us. But I want to say this. God was preparing things for it all to become perfect. God was using the waiting to line things up for them to become perfect. Why? Because he's got a plan in every single season. And so in that 400 years, church, he was preparing things. He was getting things ready. Can I bring you some of those things that scholars, they've brought all their minds together and they've worked out some things. And I think it's pretty clever thinking because here's what they reckon. The first point is this, why did he wait for 400 years? Well, of course he's getting things perfect, but what could it be that he was getting perfect? Well, the first one is this, is that the world would begin to speak the same sort of language. See, before this, back in the days, everybody spoke different languages, couldn't really communicate well, different tribes, different peoples, hard. But by the time that Jesus comes, the Greek language has become the number one language of the world. It's like English today. Everybody spoke it. Everybody spoke it. So isn't it just like the Lord to line things up, to use the seasons and the times so that when the good news of Jesus would come, that it would be easy to spread, that it would be easy to share, that it would be easy to tell people about it? Point number one. The second thing was this, is remember, they're in the middle of the New Testament, so they can't have the New Testament. We've got the complete Bible, so we've got everything. We can read about it and understand. But what they had back then was the Old Testament. The problem was it was written in Hebrew, and most people, I'd say the Israelites, couldn't understand it. They just couldn't understand the Hebrew. So if you were a Greek speaker, you couldn't understand it. You just could not get your head around it. But by the time that Jesus comes, they had translated the Old Testament into Greek. It's like, wow, the Lord's just beginning to line things up. I want to say this for your life, church. Maybe you're going, why am I having to wait this long? Why am I having to wait that long? Can I just encourage you? It's not a question of, has God forgotten about me? It's not a question of, does God not care? It's like, God, what are you doing that I can't see? What are you doing that I don't understand? And can we say it like this, church? Have you ever looked back in your life and went, I am so glad that I didn't know what I was going to have to go through? Because if I knew what I was going to have to go through, this thing would never have happened. Ever talk like that? I think it's the goodness of God, church, that he blinds us from certain things, or he keeps us ill-informed on certain issues, because he knows at that moment it would do us no good. And so he leads us through. He says, just trust me in this moment. Just trust me in this moment. Just trust me as I bring you through, because this moment's just going to be too difficult. I remember, church, it's like this crazy story from way back. Was it in Thailand where the caves got flooded? Do you remember that story where the caves got flooded and this soccer team are stuck in the cave and they can't get out? Now, I'm going to mess up the story, but it's just to prove a little bit of the point. I think they were like 3 or 4 caves deep. So they went into this like cave system. You got to realize it was like Marble Arch caves on steroids, you know? And so they went into this cave system, and I think they're stuck in the 3rd level, and the waters have risen because there was just huge storms, and now the boys can't get out. So they're okay inside the cave. The problem is they're going to run out of oxygen. And so they came up with this ridiculous plan. They said, guys, we're going to rescue them. They got some of the best divers in the world, and they said, we can't rescue them. And then there was this guy who came up with this genius idea. He said, what if we went in and we put the boys to sleep, and one by one we took them out? Because he said, our greatest fear is when we get in the tunnel. We can get to the tunnel okay. Our biggest fear is we can't get them out of the tunnel, because when they see how close it is, when they see how squashed it's going to be, when they see how dark it's going to be, they're going to panic. And if they panic, they're going to kill us both. There's just no way out of it. So they come up with this genius plan, and it actually worked, church. And they put these boys to sleep one by one in the cave, and then they brought them out. And suddenly the guy, and they had no idea. They woke up later, and they're like, where are we? You've been totally rescued. Aren't you so good, church? God, church, that sometimes the Lord just doesn't reveal everything because he knows it's no good for us at that time. And he says, hey, just trust me in this process. Just trust me as I'm bringing you through. Just trust me as I'm rescuing you. So maybe you're in a season of waiting. Can I encourage you that the number one thing to do is to trust the Lord? He's doing more than you can imagine. He's not absent. He is there. He just might be silent. You may not fully understand what he's doing, but he is definitely there, and he will not forsake you. Number 3 of maybe one of the reasons why it took 400 years, or why the Lord allowed some time to go by. The 3rd thing is this: the Romans. They came along. You know what they did? They built the roads. This incredible road system. And what does the road system tell you? It's like, you know, sometimes you go, if you just stay on this road, and then when you get to the end of this road, take right. It's like, you don't know all of the signs. You don't know all of the hedges. You like, you don't know all of the landmarks, but you're like, I'm pretty sure if you just stay on this road, you'll get all the way to Newry, or you'll get all the way to Port of Dine, or wherever you're going to. Don't take a turn. Don't take a turn. This is what happened. So when Paul gets on his horse, when he gets on his donkey, when the early disciples get, they're like, we can go everywhere. We can go to Macedonia. We can go to this part. We can go, we can travel. I mean, God's just bringing everything together perfectly for the sake of the gospel, for when Jesus would come. And then the last little one is this. You see, what we notice from history is that the things of God, people begin to wane on the things of God. You ever felt this in your life? You like start off red hot in the things of God. You're really excited, really passionate for God. And then you get distracted. You begin to compromise. And maybe just through a series of events, you just start to go different ways. And you start to get cold in your walk with God. You start to second guess things. You might even doubt things. Or you might even say, hey, forget it. I'm done with God. I'm going my own way. This is what happened in this period of time. But as time went on, you know what began to happen better and better? Is that spiritual groups rose up. You had the Sadducees, you had the Essenes, you had the, who else do we have? I wrote them down. You had the Pharisees, you have the Zealots. All of these groups, maybe a little bit off in terms of the theology, maybe a little bit off in terms of what they're after, but they had a spiritual hunger. And Jesus comes right at that moment, right at that moment. Things have been all prepared. Things are just right. I will come right now. And I want to say to us, church, that you're waiting for the Lord, but he's got things moving. You might be waiting on the Lord to do this thing or that thing. You might be wondering, why is this? Why is that? He is lining things up. And so what do we do? We place our hope in him. We place our hope in him because he has everything perfect and he's bringing things together. 2nd thing is this: God breaks silence with hope. I love this. He breaks silence with hope. Can we go to Luke chapter 1? So God hasn't spoken for 400 years. And I'm hoping one of the questions you're asking in your heart is, what was the first thing he said after he'd been quiet for 400 years? That's exactly right. I'm so glad you asked. We're going to look at that now. What was the first thing that he said? It's got to be important. It's got to be important for us, and we've got to see it today. So we're going to read it. Luke chapter 1, verse 11. The two characters that we're thinking about are Zachariah and Elizabeth. They're an older couple. We can't say they're old. They're just an older couple. Amen. They're an older couple. They're maybe not as good as they used to be, but they're still good. They're still good. And the Lord begins to speak. And here's what he says, verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared. It's like the Lord says, hey, I'm not going to come with a prophet. I'm going to come with an angel. If I haven't spoken for 400 years, I'm going to remind the world that I'm a supernatural God and I do what I need to do. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. Wow. Come on, if you saw an angel, I don't know, would you just be chill? I don't, like, hey, how are you? All right. No, he's like freaking out. He's like, what? An angel? He just doesn't know what to do. And so he begins to listen. Notice what the angel says. Do not be afraid. Gosh, that's when the number one thing that every Christian needs to hear today. Do not be afraid. Why? Because we have the Lord. Amen. There is no fear in love. Come on, church. I don't know if you know, but there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4. If you need to put something on your heart today, put that on. I might be afraid of certain things. I might be scared of certain things, but there's no foundation to my fear because I am rooted and established in love. That's what Ephesians teaches us through Paul. Come on. We are rooted in love. And so he says, do not be afraid. And then he says, your prayer has been heard. Wow. Your prayer has been heard. Church, can we just, let's zoom just for a minute. You're waiting, you're wondering. For Zachariah and for Elizabeth, you know what their heart's desire was. It was, we want to have a baby. That's our heart's desire, we want to have a baby. So they've prayed about it. They've sought the Lord about it. They're faithful in all their ways. It hasn't happened. They all through the years, we'll just keep strong. We'll just keep going. We'll be faithful. It still didn't happen. Can I suggest to you that they maybe start to get a bit discouraged? That they maybe start to look at their ages and go, well, love, you know, It's not going to happen now. We love the Lord, but it's just not going to happen. Could we suggest that they'd maybe resign to the fact that this dream is over, that the hope is waned, that there's just no way for this thing to happen? And then suddenly, after 400 years, the Lord comes to them and he whispers these words, or he speaks them loud and clear through an angel. Let's make no mistake on this one. And he says, your prayer has been heard. Wow. Wow, church, I don't know if you're praying for something right now. I don't know if you're in need of something right now. But if I heard God come to me and say, hey, just let you know, toss me in the shoulder, your prayer's been heard. I'm doing somersaults. I can't even do somersaults, but I'm trying them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, your prayer's been heard. Oh, my goodness. Now, let's think just for a minute. It's not heard by anybody. It's like, he's heard? Like, you haven't heard anything. It's been silence. And then you get, but he's already heard. What does that confirm to me? I didn't hear him, but he always heard me. I mightn't have seen him. I mightn't have known him. I might have wondered where he was, but he was always there. And he heard us. Could you imagine what it might have felt like for them in that moment? He's heard us. I think there must have been excitement, and then there must have been fear, and there must have been like a whole lot of things. And you're going, and what's going on? He heard us. Church, he has heard your prayer. You got to know that. He has heard your prayer. Maybe there's some things going on in your life. He has heard your prayer. And here's the encouragement. If he's heard your prayer, he can do something with it. Amen. If he has heard your prayer. Come on. We don't serve a God who goes, oh, sweet, thanks. Yeah, I got that information. Sorry, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, sometimes you phone up, you're in desperate need. You get to the help desk. They're like, oh, sorry, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm like, am I phoning the right company? Like, I've bought the thing from you. Is there nothing you can do? No, sorry, there's just nothing we can do. It's just one of those things. You're like, one of those things? Church, the Lord never replies to the God. He says, I've heard your prayer. Let me continue. I've heard your prayer. He said, your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. Oh my goodness. You're going, what? She's at a ripe old age. Come on, Elizabeth shouldn't be having no kids at this age. But the Lord has heard their prayer and he's able to do the impossible. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. You're to call him John. Here's the details coming. This is not just I've heard your prayer and there's nothing I can do. I've heard your prayer. I've got a plan. I've been perfecting things. I've been working everything out. I'm bringing it to pass at just the right time. You thought I'd forgotten, but I've been preparing everything. I've been preparing everything. See, church, why can we wait with hope? Because he's prepared everything. Why can we wait with hope? Because his track record is perfect. Why can we wait with hope? Because he never, ever fails. How good is our God? Amen. How good is our God? Come on, church. We got to realize our God, there is no one like him. There is just no one like him. And he says, you're going to have a son. You're going to call him John. And he will be a joy and a delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Wow. After 400 years of silence, his first words, I've heard your prayer. Maybe it's been 40 days for you. Maybe it's been a year or two. Maybe it's just been a season of, Lord, what's going on? We're confused. We don't know what's going on. We're praying. We're fasting. We're seeking. Come on. Can I just say this? You can do all the right things, but I need the Lord to move. I need the Lord to move. We can do all things. In fact, even if I'm not doing the right things, the Lord will still move. He's still able to do. He's still able to do whatever he needs to do. And after 400 years, he speaks words of life and he says, guys, I have heard your prayers. Can I encourage you, if you're in a season of waiting, you know what the most important thing to do is? Keep praying. Keep praying. If you're in a season of waiting, keep praying. Keep praising. Let's add the praise to it. Let's add the joy to it. Let's even add thankfulness to it, because I know my God does not fail. And remember, where's my hope found? My hope is not found in Mother Nature, the weather, my bank account, my really, 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 my willpower, my skill, my ability, my health, my strength. None of it. My hope is found in Jesus. Amen. And he is perfect. So when everybody else is failing, I'm not failing. Because my hope is found in Jesus. It's why you got to be careful of the people you hang around with, because you become like them. Unfortunately, it's so easy to be pulled down. It's really hard to pull up. So be mindful of who you hang around. And when you do hang around, be ready to speak a different word. Be better to challenge. Be ready to challenge things. Because when everybody else goes, oh, it's just going to be one of those years. That's not the, if you hear another Christian say like you, like, can we go outside and just pray? Can we just go outside and pray? Because I'm afraid you've got a different God. Because my God says the best is yet to come. Amen. And he's working all things together for good for those who love him or are called according to his purposes. So maybe they've just got distracted. Maybe they got drifted. That's why we need brothers and sisters in Christ, because many times I've been there and then a friend comes to me and goes, snap yourself together. Come on. We're going a different way. You're going the wrong path. But whenever you're coming up against other people, be careful what you agree with, because they're going to say things like, ah, never change. Life's never going to change for me. Or it's always like this, always like that. Not for you. Not for you. Not for you. Life is transforming for you. Life is changing for you because God is on your life. Verses 18, 19. Here's where we realize what happens. Ever lost hope? Ever lost hope? Because the thing is, remember, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're old. I think they'd given up on having kids. I mean, it was the most logical, reasonable thing to do. We're in our 60s, 70s, possibly. We're not quite sure what age they were, but they're definitely past the childbearing age. They're definitely past that. That's why it's miraculous. And so part of them has to be going, we should just accept this. We got to get on with their lives. Is there still a part that they'd love to have a son? Yeah, they'd love to have a son. But we've moved on from that because we had to. There was just no way out of it. But verse 18 reveals the heart. Zacharias asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? How can I be sure of this? You see, church, here's the thing I want to say to us. Whenever you serve the Lord and you walk with God, there's no way to be sure outside of faith. No way. There's no way to be sure outside of faith. The only way to be totally sure in the natural is when it's done. But if you're not just a natural person, but you're a supernatural person, then you realize that the currency of heaven is faith. And we're to live by faith alone. The just shall live by faith alone. So every step we take is a faith step. Every word we say is a faith word. Every thought we have is a faith thought. We have to realize that, because otherwise we will go back to the natural everyday stuff. And the natural everyday stuff is fine because we live in the real world. I'm not saying that. But we have something more. We have the Lord, and his word is final authority, not everybody else's. Amen. And so what he says, what he declares, what he so calls, that's what I live by, and that's where I go by. And so verse 18, this is where Zechariah starts to get a little bit discouraged, but he's revealing his heart. He says, how can I be sure? And he speaks the truth. I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. Gosh, I don't know if that was the right thing to say, but she's well along in years. You know, I'm an old man and she's well along in years. Don't say that to anybody you love, okay? Just say it. But she's well along in years, but she's doing all right. She's doing all right. And he's like, so you get my heart. You understand. And I think part of what he's saying is this: please don't mess with us. Please, you come on. This has been a deep heart pain. This has been a thing that we've really wanted for such a long time. Please tell us this is not a made up. You're not going to come out and prank us next minute. You know what I'm saying? You see, but church, can I encourage you? When the Lord speaks to your heart, he's not like anybody else. Anybody else maybe could guess a few things. Oh, you're this, you're that. And you think, how do you know? And it's like, they just made a couple of guesses. But when the Lord speaks into your situation, he doesn't play games. He doesn't play games. He speaks in love all of the time. Imagine that. He only speaks in love. He's never spoke anything outside of love. He's never spoken anything in fear. He's never spoken anything in doubt. Imagine that just for a minute, because I've spoken lots of things in fear. I've thought lots of things in fear. I've said lots of things in doubt. But the Lord has never spoken anything in doubt, fear, or worry. Wow. Wow, church. He's only ever spoken love. He's only ever thought love. He's only ever acted in love. Gosh, he's only ever given love. How good is our God? But Zachariah says, but please, I got to be sure. Then the angel said to him, and I love this. He says, I am Gabriel. I've got authority. I'm from heaven. I speak on behalf of the king. I speak on behalf of the Lord. And I stand in the presence of God. Wow. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Wow. Church, just in case you didn't know, just in case you're wondering, what is my life about? Just in case you're wondering, am I really going to do great things? Jesus stands with the nail pierces, with the side, with the feet, and he says, I went all the way for you, and I want you to know that I have conquered the grave of sin. I've conquered everything that need to be conquered, and I've raised you up, and you're in fact seated in the heavenly places with Christ, and I've called you for great times, and I've called you for great moments, and I'm for you and not against you. You see, when the Lord speaks to you, he speaks a little bit like the angel. I am the Son of God. I laid my life down for you. I bled and died for you. On the third day, I rose myself up from the grave. No one put me in it. I went there myself. It was all because of love. And I want you to know that you're my best. I want you to know that I love you with an everlasting love. I want you to know that I have set this world up, and I have planned things, and I've prayed about things, and I've sorted things out. And in fact, you're going to do greater things than me. He's the ultimate, ultimate dad. He's the ultimate father. He's the ultimate encourager. He's the ultimate one. He made the way where there was no way. That's what the Lord did. Like, there was just no other system that fit. You know, sometimes you go to things, you go, well, we'll maybe use this thing, or maybe try that thing out, or maybe go this way. And Jesus came, he says, no, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No system's going to work for my kids. No system's going to work for me. So I'll create a brand new one. I'll create streams in the wilderness. Amen. Come on, church. I need to encourage your heart. He has moved heaven and earth for you. So there'll be no shadow of a doubt. I am for you. And I speak hope over you. And I live inside of you. And every step you take is holy. So the angel says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you good news. Hebrews 11:1. Come on. If you've got your Bibles, let's look it up together. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. And I challenged a couple of young guys not that long ago to read Hebrews 11. Our old pastor would always say this. It's the fifth chapter. It's absolutely right. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Here's what it says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Note that. Maybe you're reading a slightly different translation, but I'll just quote it in the one that I love. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Notice this. So if you're lacking in hope, turn to faith. Turn to faith. But faith in who? Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. If I root my faith in Jesus and I start to speak by faith, live by faith, think by faith, my hope begins to rise and suddenly I have a firm foundation in every season. I'm not waiting for things to happen. It's already been done. It says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wow. Church, we have a hope that's in Jesus. We have a hope in Jesus. We have a hope in a risen Savior that cannot be moved, that cannot be, brought down, that cannot be taken away from us. We have a hope in Jesus. It's rock solid hope. It's rock solid faith. And so I may not be able to quantify it. I may not be able to put numbers on it, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he is faithful and he will never move. He's incredible in all of his ways. He's wonderful. And so two keys to remember about the silence. Nothing's forgotten about God. By God, and hope often arrives in places you've already given up. They'd already given up on a son. Already given up that they'd have a son. And where does hope arise? Right at that moment. Zachariah, you're going to have a son. Elizabeth, you're going to have a son. God is going to do wonderful things in your life. God is going to move in you. God is going to move in your life, and he's going to move through you, and he's going to transform you, and he's going to do incredible things. See, church, you could be in a position in yourself right now where you go to yourself, well, I don't know if God's going to do much through me. I've done this. I've done that. I've messed up. I've missed the boat. I've missed my opportunities. You could be thinking a whole bunch of things. But when Zachariah and Elizabeth thought that their time was up, God says, you're just coming into your perfect season. You're just coming into your perfect season. Church, this is hope season. You see, at any point, at any time, God just, you didn't see it, but I've been preparing things. You didn't understand it, but I've been getting things ready. I was growing you, and I was growing your wife. I was getting the seasons ready. I was getting the times ready. And not only am I going to give you a son, but he's going to be significant. See, church, can I encourage you? If you've got sons and daughters in your life, you need to start praying over them and reminding the enemy, reminding anybody else who wants to know, he's going to do great things. She's going to do great things. The Lord is for them. I start to pray over them. I start to anoint them. I start to believe the things of God over my children because I know what God's got for them, and it's going to be way better than what I have seen before. Come on, church. We have a great God, and he does great things. Here's what it says about John the Baptist. John, of course, this is John the Baptist we're talking about. Verse 16, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Wow. I wish this angel will turn up to me. Come on. This is what your kid's going to do, Elizabeth. This is what your kid's going to do. He's going to move mountains. He's going to prepare the way for a savior. He's going to be basically right after him, Jesus comes. He's the way preparer. He's the one. He's the way maker. He's just going to prepare the way. And then suddenly the son's coming. Suddenly Jesus comes. What a role. What a role. Church, can I say this, that the Lord has placed destiny and purpose and history in every single one of us? And all he wants to do is just get it. Because if you could just get it, gosh, hell's just starting to shake. Like when you begin to realize who you are in Christ, when you begin to realize who you are in God, there are no limits. See, the world lives off competition. You know what the kingdom of God lives off? Faith and working together. And there's more than enough. And we can do this together. And we'll spur each other on. And we'll lift each other up. It's not competing. It's companionship. It's coming together. It's saying, I'm part of you and you're part of me. And we're going to overcome because the Lord is with us. And so John comes and then Jesus comes. He had a significant role. You've got a significant role. Maybe you're wondering what's God up to. I'm telling you this. He's going to break the silence with hope. He's going to break your heart with hope. He's going to break into your life with hope, and he's going to show you great things. Then final one we're going to look at, Galatians 4:4. Can we go there? Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Hope arrives right on time. Maybe you've heard it before. God's never late. He's never early. He's always perfectly on time. This is the Lord. This is who he is. Here's what it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the set time had fully come. Church, here's what you've got to know. You're waiting and you're wondering, but God has a set time. You're waiting and you're wondering because you understand the plan, but it does not mean that God doesn't have a plan. He has a significant plan. You're wondering, will it be today? Will it be tomorrow? Like many of us are wondering, when's the Lord coming back? It is not a wonder in heaven. It's already marked on the calendar. Amen? Come on. In heaven, it's not a wonder whenever your loved one's getting saved. It's already marked on the calendar. You might be wondering when this situation is going to be turned around. The Lord's already marked it on the calendar. And if you wonder what he marked it with, he marked it with his blood. Just to remind the enemy, there's no way to change this thing. My word stands true. You can't move me. You can't change me. The Lord is ever faithful. And in Galatians chapter 4:4, this is to encourage your heart if you need a foundational verse for today. But when the set time had fully come, we're writing with hindsight. We're writing because we already know this. God sent his son after 400 years of waiting, after 400 years of doubt. This is how we would write it. After 400 years of uncertainty, thankfully, Jesus finally come. No, that's not what God says. He says, when the time had fully come, when the set time had fully come. In other words, I had already planned it. I had already had figured out. I had already worked out perfectly. I was just letting everything come into its perfect place and perfect timing. So church, when you're wondering what's going on, you just begin to praise the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I know you have a perfect plan. Lord, I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it all out, but here's what I know. I'm not going to waste my time worrying on something that's not my job. You lead my life. I live my life through you, and you live your life through me, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, Lord, I want to remind you, I'm struggling here. I'm waiting here, but Lord, I'm going to praise you anyway. Amen? Come on, men and women of God, our challenge is different. Our challenge is just to be patient sometimes in the middle of the wait. Our challenge in the middle of the wait is just to say, okay, Lord, I don't fully understand, but you've got it. But could you imagine what the wait's like for everybody else outside of the Lord? It's like, I don't know what's going on. Any clue what's happening? No clue. What do you think will happen tomorrow? No idea. Got your hope in anything other than just that things may turn around? It's just hopeless. There's just nothing. There's no foundation. There's no ceiling. There's no floor. It's just emptiness. But for those who know the Lord, gosh, I don't know, but I know who does. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but Jesus does. I'm not sure how it's going to figure it all out, but there's going to be a set time. There's going to be a set time. I just don't know it yet, but when it's time, he will reveal it to me. It says this, that when the set time had fully come, God sent a son born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that they might receive adoption to sonship. Gosh. Come on, church. It's not like he came to us and says, guys, good news, I'm speaking again. He says, no, I was preparing things and you were wondering what was going on, but here was what was going on. I was getting the world ready for my son to come. And he wasn't just going to come just to say, hey, hello, it's God. Check it out. Hang out with me if you want to. He was going to come and he was going to die in your place for your sins. He was going to destroy the work of sin forever. He was going to upset the whole world forever. He was going to change time, the grave and everything. And he was going to leave it that anybody, I mean, literally anybody that would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. Wow. And not just saved, but adopted to sonship. Gosh, church, are we getting this today? It's not like just, he gave me everlasting life. Oh, thank you, Lord. No, it's way better than that. Way better. He gave you a new identity. He gave you new hope. He gave you a new foundation. He gave you a friend forever. And he adopted you as one of his sons or one of his daughters. What a God we serve, church. What a God we serve. And so when you're waiting and you're wondering, I tell you what, you just begin to worship. You begin to worship and trust the Lord because he's got perfect time. Come on, we're going to stand together. We're going to worship the Lord. What I notice about this hope is that it starts small and then it begins to grow. It starts small and then it begins to grow. And I want to say this today, church, this is your standing, just as you're getting on your feet, just as you're beginning to worship. Can I just say that we're not just standing? Maybe this is a declaration to ourselves. Maybe this is a reminder to ourselves. I'm standing because of what the Lord has done. I'm standing because I know that I'm standing on the truths of God. I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing on holy ground. Maybe some of us need to know. I'm standing on that God never fails and he's always there. And he's always faithful to me. And he's always good to me. And he's always gracious to me. That's what he's doing, church. And he's doing exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So I want to ask us, what's the waiting that you're in? Maybe there's a stuck, maybe you're just stuck in this process. You're going, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's an anxiousness. Maybe there's, Lord, please help me to understand. Help me to understand who you are. Help me to understand what's going on. Can I say this? Why not give up understanding for worship? Sometimes you're not going to understand and there's a good reason for it. Give up understanding for faith. Give up understanding for worship. When you don't understand, begin to pray and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to trust you. Something very interesting happens in Zechariah. I got to tell you the story in case you don't know it. After 400 years, the Lord doesn't speak. Remember that? Doesn't speak. He chose not to. He wasn't absent, but he chose not to. He was preparing things in the background, just getting everything ready. And then it says that the Lord tells Zechariah through the angel, you're going to have an incredible son. You're going to have a son. Your wife's going to be pregnant. She's going to have a son. It's going to be unbelievable. Remember what what Zechariah says? He says, but Lord, is it really you? He's anxious. He's not sure. He doubts. And then the angel declares to him, okay, it's me. God's definitely going to do it. I'm from heaven. I'm from his presence. And then do you remember what happens next? He says, Zechariah, it's time to zip it. And he makes him quiet. The whole way through the pregnancy, makes them quiet. Church, can I say this, that some of us are talking ourselves out of what the Lord's trying to do in our lives? That some of us are trying to talk ourselves out of what the Lord's doing? Because if we're not careful, we babble away. You know what I'm saying? We chatter away, we talk away, and we talk ourselves out of what the Lord's doing. I'll never happen now. What? Who said that? And that's what happened. The angel of the Lord turns up to Zechariah. It's the first words that the Lord has spoken in 400 years. Maybe Zechariah doesn't know it for sure that he's the first man, but he knows he hasn't spoken in a long time. And he turns up and he says, I've heard your prayer and you're going to have a son and his name's going to be John and it's an angel and it's all incredible. And you're going, there's no way you can mess this one up. There's no way you could doubt this one. There's no way you could second guess this. And the first response out of Zechariah was, is it really you, God? What? Like, what more do you want me to do? Jesus is coming, but it's not his right time. But that's literally the only thing I could send you better is Jesus himself. It's the only thing I send you better, but I send you Gabriel, one of my head angels. Like, he's my guy. He's come to tell you the truth. I'm from the presence of God. I'm an angel. Come on, there's no mistaking an angel. It's not like one of these ones where, you know, it says New Testament, be careful because you might be ministering to the angels. You know, this is not a be careful moment. It's clear that he's an angel. It's clear. He's like, Paul, I don't know what he's doing, but he's an angel. And the first response of Zacharias doubt, faithlessness, hopelessness. What'd the Lord do? God is up. I had to close his mouth. Why? Because he was about to talk himself out of what the Lord was going to do. And John's part of my plan. Your son's part of my plan. Your son is part of my plan. Church, here's what I want to say to you. You're part of God's plan. You're part of God's plan. We said in the last few weeks, we are future builders. But sometimes this, you know, this thing is like, you got to be careful. You got to be careful of the things you say. And I'm not talking just about the swears. Be careful of the swears. The swear words are bad. You got to be careful of that. I'm talking about the lack of belief. I'm talking about the lack of belief. I'm talking about God spoke a word over your heart and you're not even praying about it anymore. God spoke a word over your heart and you're not even declaring it anymore. In fact, not only are you not speaking and not declaring it, you're actually anti the word. It's not going to happen then. Time's up for us. It's not going to happen. We'll never have a son. That's the way they were speaking. You can be sure of it because there's no other way that he zips the mouth otherwise. Why? Because the Lord says like this, out of the mouth comes the words of life or death. Out of the mouth comes the words of life or death. When we go all the way back to Genesis 1, the Lord said to Adam and Eve, you can have everything you want from this garden. The one thing you can't have is that tree. They said, Lord, why can we not have that one? Because that's the tree of knowledge of good, of evil, good and evil. If you get that knowledge, you're as smart as me. But the problem is you're not smart enough to handle the intelligence. You're not smart enough to get all of that. So I got to ban you from that. And then what happens? We make the mistake. We go and take of the tree. And we get all this wisdom. We get all this knowledge. And you know all it does? It corrupts us. Corrupts us and separates us from God. And now we're in a big fat mess. So there's a flat out mess. And in this moment, you can see the depravity of man. You can see the feelings of man. The angel comes. Gabriel's there. Gosh, it's not even any old angel. It's Gabriel. And he says, you know, your heart's desire, the one you've been praying about, the one you've been thinking about forever, it's going to happen. His name's John. He gives him the details. He tells you he's going to be a great man. He's going to be this, he's going to be that. He's going to change the world. And the first response out of Zechariah was, is that really you, God? Come on, church. Maybe that's your first response today. You want to know why? Because when you get so lacking in hope, when you lose your hope, when the years go by and you begin to take your eyes off the Lord and you begin to allow faithlessness to get in there and begin to get doubt in there, you don't talk, think, faith, act, faith, nothing faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to be a Christian. Without faith, it's impossible to live the way God's called you to live. Without faith, it's impossible for the Lord to move. And so in that moment, he just goes, okay, zip it. Zip it. I want to pray today it would not be us. I want to pray today would not be us. And that we would pray, just as we finish, that we would take this warning from the Lord and we would say, okay, Lord, change my talk. Change my talk. Change my talk. Come on, we all of us need this. I need this. You need this. Lord, it's going to be done. It's going to be done. That person I'm wanting to see saved, Lord, I believe it's going to happen at your perfect time. Lord, this situation that needs turned around, Lord, I believe it. I'm going to trust you with it, but I'm not going to take myself out of it. I'm going to speak words of faith. And if I can't speak words of faith, I'll be like Zechariah. I'll keep quiet. Because I want it to be your will, not mine. Your will, not mine. Amen. Can we pray? Come on. Lord, I pray today for just liberation and freedom. Liberation and freedom in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray today, Lord, for a freedom in the Spirit like never before. It says when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty, there is liberation. Lord, I pray today that there will be a freedom on us. There will be a liberty on us. There will be an anointing on us. We're not trying to get it. We've already got it in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we're not trying to search for it. We've already received it by faith. Freely we receive, now freely give, says the Lord. Lord, I pray today for the anointed ones of God to rise up, the men and women of faith that know who they are in Christ, to begin to rise up, because our world is talking nonsense, but we are men and women that are supposed to speak faith that would bring life and not death. And I pray today, Lord, that we would not be Zechariah in that moment. We would be Jesus. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He begins to speak life in the midst of death. He begins to speak hope in the midst of hopelessness. It is finished, he cried from the cross. And Lord, I pray today that we begin to find our voice. We would begin to confirm our voice through the word of God. We begin to speak faith. We begin to remind ourselves of, I have it all right now. I don't need faith. We begin to remind ourselves that the Lord has done it before. He will do it again. We begin to remind ourselves that when we were in desperate need for 400 years, Jesus came. Lord, you are working everything out perfectly. Many times it begins small. Many times he breaks the silence with hope. Many times I got to remind myself that when I'm waiting, he's preparing. When I'm waiting, he's got it all figured out. Lord, I pray today for a rising up in the Spirit. I pray today, Lord, for a turning around in the heart. And I pray that our mouths are going to begin to speak the words of habit, the words of Jesus, words of faith. And when I'm not sure what to do, I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We pray for more in Jesus' name. We pray for more. Pray for more.